Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from your basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome to the podcast, Theanos. I'm Jordan Hall, and this is my co-host, Eric Wayne. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. Actually had a little bit of spring today.
I think
it got up to 52, and you can actually see a little bit of my driveway for the first time in pretty much as long as I can remember.
That's impressive, yeah. Especially since you're at such a northern climb up there in the big TC.
All of my friends tell me I live in southern Canada, which actually I live more north than a lot of Canada. Just in time to honor the boys getting to camp. So.
Yes, beautiful scenes. It's like it's almost second to only to Augusta National. You know, you get the azaleas. I mean, that's the sign of spring. This is the real sign of spring, of course. We hear the popping of leather. We hear Rondon making promises. It's spring. It's so good.
Oh, I'm so ready to go. So on a completely unrelated subject, I'm not sure if you saw this or not, but Transformers actor Shia LaBeouf, are you familiar with this man?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Unfortunately. As we speak right now, he is live streaming himself from an elevator in England for 24 hours. He's joined in this elevator by two, as far as I know, less famous people, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. It's allegedly something they refer to in air quotes, performance artwork.
Sure, of course.
Of course. But get this, he's allowed bathroom breaks, which seems to defeat the purpose.
That seems kind of like cheating, yeah.
So many questions, most of which begin with why. So this brings us to the leadoff question for this week. Who from the world of baseball would you most or least like to be stuck in an elevator with for a long period of time?
Okay, so most from the world of baseball is going to be Dan Dickerson. Mm. I mean, I love me some Dan. Dan's been around. He's going to know everything that I want to know about, you know, what's going on with the Tigers. He's knowledgeable. He's going to mix in some numbers. I love me some Dan.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I actually came up with one for each because I'm a bit of an overachiever. Very interestingly, I went in a similar direction. I obviously wanted someone Tigers related to tell me, you know, regale me with stories, but mm-hmm. I went maybe a little bit more interesting than Dan. I went with Rod. There's nobody that makes me laugh quite like Rod. I'd want to be in an elevator with him for 24 hours.
You're going to want 24 hours of Rod?
It would be 24 hours to remember. That's for sure.
Well, you're going to remember it because he's going to say the same thing every 5 minutes. How are you going to be able to forget?
I love Rod. He does constantly repeat himself, but I can't help myself. He makes me laugh so much. And who I at least want to be stuck in with? My first thought was Mark Burley, because I think he's a massive douche. But then I thought of someone even douchier, and that is Jonathan Papelbon. He would probably get into some sort of fight about whose fault it was that we were stuck. But I think I could choke him out. I don't think he'd be coming after me.
So Papelbon, I'm going to give you the answer to this, and you're going to say, oh yeah, of course that is the answer. And the answer is Delman.
Oh, yeah. Do you want, of course that's the answer.
You're going to be stuck in an elevator with Delvin for that long? I don't think so.
Gosh, he would have so many words for me.
None of them you may want to repeat to anyone.
If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can contact us at podcastianos.com. Would you like me to spell that, or are we all okay?
If they can't spell it, they don't deserve to.
Touche. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric. And I promise you, in the near future, I am sending our podcast to iTunes, so you will be able to subscribe, rate, and review. When it's up there, please do that. It will do us a load of good. All right, let's get on to some new business. Big news. Was it yesterday? I'm pretty sure that we signed Bobby Parnell. You know.
So what's the big news?
Whoa! All right, shots fired. Oh. not a fan of this move, I take it.
I don't know. I mean, it's fine. It's Bobby Parnell. I mean, I don't know. Tell me about Bobby Parnell, Jordan. Why should I be excited?
Okay, here's in 2013. Granted, I will admit that was two full seasons ago. Dude had a 2.16 ERA. I was reading one of the articles from one of the beat reporters, which I'm sure they love me, the specifics there, was talking about how in one at bat in 2013, he tried to sneak seven straight fastballs by Miguel Cabrera at over 100 miles an hour and was successful in striking him out. Big arm. You know, he's coming back from injuries, yes. But I for the price of virtually nothing, you know, no risk if we ditch him at the end of spring training, I want this dude in camp. I mean, he throws hard. He closed for the Mets. Not that he had many opportunities back then. I could see this being... excuse me, a very high impact signing for virtually nothing.
I don't know, dude. I'm gonna trust you and say sure, but
I'm also very, very optimistic. I tend to lean that way. I'm sure you're probably right. Most of the time stuff like this leads to nothing, but you know, JD Martinez, that's the
You're right. Yeah, you got to take some flyers. I agree with that. Take flyers if it's low priced. You hope you get a JD Martinez, and you just chalk off the Joel Hanrahans to the scrap heap of bonfired, you know, flyers.
Yeah.
You'd be done.
Yeah. So. Hopefully he's more JD than Mark Krause. All right. So I thought that for this episode, as pitchers and catchers are now in camp, as obviously are many of the position players, we start to look at some of the storylines that are surrounding the Tigers entering spring training. There's not a lot of drama that's going to unfold. No. I don't think in spring training for us, which I think is a good thing.
It's absolutely a good thing. And the drama that you have is around like the very fringest of players. That's great.
Yeah, definitely. Why don't we start in the rotation? The number five starter spot is up for grabs. You have Verlander penciled in at number one, Zimmerman and Anibal, and then Mike Pelfrey, a podcast favorite, in the four spot. It seems like the beat reporters are referring to Daniel Norris as a lock. Is he? And if he is, should he be?
Yes and yes.
All right.
Yes, he's a lock, and yes, he should be. If you hear El Avila talk and he's like, oh, you and they ask him about the fifth starter spot. Oh, we have a number of guys who are going to compete for this spot. There's Shane Green, and then there's another number of guys. Like Green is the only guy he mentions.
Definitely.
Like, Green is the guy. And frankly, there's not even a competition for the fifth starter spot. There's a competition for the fourth starter spot. And the fourth starter is freaking Daniel Norris. And the fifth starter is Pelfrey versus the triple A, the quad A guys.
All right. I know this is going to be an extremely...
I believe in Norris.
That's the thing, is I know this is extremely unpopular. He's already very popular, but I don't know. There's a part of me that thinks that maybe Norris isn't quite where he... Not where he should be, you know, developmental-wise. But I don't know. I'm not sure he's ready. I would not be surprised if Shane Green makes more starts at the big league level than Daniel Norris this year.
Have you seen his beard?
If only that's what it took. If only... I like Shane Green. I've always liked Shane Green. Essentially, since he diced us up, what was that, in 2014?
Right, he did.
And I know that's getting a little too close to it because, you know, we had a good offense that year, but it's not like we were world beaters either. I don't know. I would be surprised if Norris had no hiccups over the course of the year. Does that seem fair? Okay. So presumably he gets the number five gig. That seems pretty nailed on. What do you do with the other four? Green, Buck, Matt Boyd, and Kyle Ryan. Can we send those all to is that our AAA rotation right there?
I mean, you're going to have to send some guys to AAA. You got to pick and choose a little bit. You take two or three that you're going to keep stretched out or more. I don't know the exact numbers. You keep some guys stretched out. You tuck them in AAA, and when the time arises for a spot starter, you grab them. There's going to be two bullpen spots up for grabs. You take maybe the guys who are best suited for that kind of work, and maybe you give them a shot, or you let them relieve in Toledo. I am of the opinion that there's only two spots up for grab, really. So
yeah,
I don't know. You pick the guys who you want stretched out, and no matter how good they look, you do not put them in the big league bullpen because you will need another starter and you need somebody stretched out.
I think if it were me, I would keep Shane Green and Boyd as my starters.
Yep.
I think Orion has stuff that could transition well into the bullpen. You know, throw in shorter bursts, have him throw a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And I think to a certain extent the same is true for Buck. Although I don't know. I'm not a Buck Farmer fan, even though he has the greatest name in history of the world.
Right.
Because
you have a lot of these fringe guys ready to jump into your bullpen who are not starters. You have Verhagen if he doesn't make the club right away. You have Kyle Ryan. You have Bruce Rondon floating out there someplace. You have Nesbitt, who might give you something. You have, who am I missing? Michael Fulmer. What are you going to do with Michael Fulmer? I know we're going to talk about him more later.
Why don't we just get into him right now? I feel like the rotation kind of bleeds into the bullpen. How do you feel about using Fulmer out of the bullpen?
I don't know enough about his stuff, dude.
His stuff sounds like it will... I am not going to pretend to have seen him pitch a ton, but it sounds like his arsenal would translate well into the bullpen. I'm more coming at it from a philosophical standpoint. We've seen so many arms like Jabba, Aaron Sanchez, I think you can make a case for, highly rated guys. What do we do with them? Does it ruin the arm when you go back and forth?
You can't do it too much. I mean, if you think he is going to be a starter, you need to take a block of time and pencil him into that role. So if you think he's going to be a starter, you at least go half the year in Toledo and let him be a starter and stretch him out. If you think he's going to be a reliever, you let him for the first half of the year or whatever be a reliever. And if you don't ever use him or whatever, and you want to use him in a role, stretch him out later. I don't know all the philosophies on this, but you don't want to be jerking these guys back and forth. I wouldn't think.
To me, that essentially ruined Jabba's career. I mean, he had all the makings to be either a really good starter or a really good reliever, and you know, we saw what he ended up.
Yeah, he just became kind of fuzzy. That's about all he became.
That's pretty good. Okay, so let's see. The consensus is that we'll need two behind K-Rod, Mark Lowe, Justin Wilson, Alex Wilson, and Blaine Hardy.
Yes.
I read today that Verhagen is penciled in ahead of the other group just based on his work down the stretch last year, I love. I love Verhagen. Who's your seventh? You know, you have your rotation guys, Fulmer.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Rondon, Nesbitt, Jimenez? Either way.
Jimenez is a little ways away, yeah, but he's freaking good. Let me tell you that. Joe Jimenez is a stud, but he's a little young yet. In fact, he's way young yet. I like, who do I like? God, I don't know. Maybe I like Rondon. You know what? I think I like Rondon.
All right.
For the last spot in the bullpen, he's going to, that's a little ego kick, but I don't know. You bring him in, you need a strikeout. If he's, we'll see how he throws this spring.
Could kind of take that Al role.
Yeah.
We don't have anybody in the top six that are, I mean, Verhagen obviously can throw more than one inning, but I wouldn't mind necessarily seeing Kyle Ryan get the gig as somebody who can be, you know, the mop-up guy, I guess.
You want three lefties in the bullpen?
I'm a lefty. I have a hard time saying no to that. But I don't know. I prefer him to Buck. So
yeah, I would as well.
I don't know.
You know what? None of this matters. None of this matters. Remember who got the last bullpen spot last year?
Nesbitt, correct?
Nesbitt did. And how important was that for the season?
Inconsequential.
Inconsequential. These guys are going to go up and down, bounce around 1,000 times this year. Whoever breaks camp and goes north as the seventh bullpen guy makes absolutely no difference. It's going to get a lot of coverage, but it makes zero difference.
That is,
you're going to get a week into the season, and there's going to be somebody different.
That's true. Yeah, that's hashtag perspective right there.
Yes.
And I want to see Parnell make the club. So I'm gonna come on the record there. I like Parnell.
Yeah, Parnell. I didn't even pencil it. He's not even on my little paper here. That's because he's such a Parnell. Is he healthy?
I saw a quote today, and I should really start writing down who these quotes are from, that said that he's night and day from last year. So, you know, they all would say that, but, you know, it could be true. I want it to be true because he's got a big arm. Had a big arm, at least.
Right.
All right. Nick,
tape them together.
Yeah. I've always been a fan of the stapling, but, nice. You know. Nick Castellanos, the poster boy for this show, popular breakout candidate. I feel like everyone, all of the guys are saying that this is the year that he becomes what we assumed he could be. Do you buy it?
I do, but perhaps for not the same reasons why you're thinking. You pointed out to me there was a article, Jeff Seidel, if I'm saying his name right, attitude change, things in perspective, breakout, I'm not buying the attitude business. I mean, Nick's attitude is kind of who Nick is. The reason why I might buy him as a breakout candidate is because he's 23 years old and he's going to be 24 this year. That has nothing to do with maturity. It's just that if you look at the bell curve of a normal player's progression, this is where you get improvements. This is, we're getting into the prime time of Nick, right? Mm-hmm. So his attitude, I mean, he's in that article I saw, he's got a 2.5-year-old son, and I don't want to talk personal issues too much, but he's been a father for a couple of years, and if his attitude hasn't been like particularly mature last year or the year before, this upcoming year isn't going to be I've seen the light. I'm going to take responsibility or whatever. No. So it's not for attitude, but yes, I am buying because, I mean, he's just another year older.
Yeah, I can see that being the case. Like, when he was a prospect, I don't know like how into prospects you are, but I've spent more time looking at them than I should. The thing that was always so advanced with him was the hit tool, his pitch recognition, the way he approached an at-bat. And I feel like that's kind of been the last thing to come for him, which is frustrating. And, you know, like you say, another year into the development, maybe he spent this winter, you know, watching pitch sequences and figuring stuff like that out. But I was just looking at his numbers. He did drive in 73 runs last year. I mean, that's quite a bit for hitting, you know, what, he hit 6-7 last year?
Oh, he can hit.
But I saw him as more of a 300-type hitter, maybe without, you know, with similar power than he's shown. I think this is the year that he pushes that average, I don't know, 275 to 280, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I could see that.
Does he have to have how much does he need to improve his defensive work for any offensive breakthrough to make him a success?
Next to none.
Okay.
I mean, if he plays the same level of defense he played last year, not the year before, but last year, and he gets much better at the plate, that's success. I don't know all the metrics, but the year before last, he was like on the bottom of everything. And he got, from my understanding, a little better. It's still not good. But he's got a hit. I mean, he's got to hit his way out of below. He's a below average defensive third baseman. And that's okay. But you got to hit.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Oh, for sure. I think how bad he is defensively gets a little bit overblown, especially yeah. considering people love to rail on how, you know, Miggy was bad. Like, you know, there's kind of this narrative that surrounds the Tigers. Like, they're all just garbage fielders, which, you know, historically, it's been, you know, more true than not. But, you know, even average fielders get labeled terrible when you wear the old English D.
Right. It's okay to be below average. This isn't Lake Wobegon, okay? We have real numbers. There's, like, you know, you can be below average defensively and be a good third baseman. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah. Anyway.
Catch the ball, throw it to first.
And preferably not in the dirt. Although, Miggy does have – I feel like that's, like, the one area that he doesn't struggle in is – digging it out.
Yeah,
all right, so let's move on to Anibal Sanchez. Number penciled in at number three, I would say, in our rotation.
Yeah.
excuse me. I feel like there's a lot of drama that surrounded him over the last couple of years. When is he coming back? I feel like every time, you know, you'd listen to a broadcast or you'd watch, there would be some sort of update on when Anibal's coming back. And he's a popular bounce back candidate. Now, he's 31, and it's been 2 years that have more or less been ruined. Do you think he can ever be the 2013 Anibal again? I believe he was fourth in the Cy Young voting that year.
No. No, I don't. I think he can put together a solid season. I mean, he doesn't need to finish fourth in the Cy Young voting to be a super important piece to this club. He needs to pitch in, 30 games or whatever.
Yeah.
And he needs to work some innings, and he needs to be better and stay healthy. If he gets hurt and he misses half of the year and we're cobbling together from our quad A stock like we did a lot last year in the second half with two spots for quad A folks, then we're done. It's absolutely done.
Yeah.
Right. If he's a B minus player instead of a minus player, that's okay. But he can't be a incomplete. He can't not be on the mound, because then we're kind of screwed.
Yeah, for sure. They were talking in one of the articles about Anibal, about how he's put in a lot more strenuous work this offseason. Bulking, I guess bulking is probably the wrong word, but strengthening up the oblique, a lot of his core muscles. And they thought that some of the problems that he developed when he was pitching last year, because he threw a decent amount last year and was wildly ineffective for a lot of it, and they thought that the residue of his injuries were affecting his arm slot, which kind of makes sense. Whereas if he comes into the season a little bit more, you know, bulked up, ready to go, hopefully we can avoid some of the injuries, and even when he's, you know, feeling a little tired, hopefully the arm slot stays the same.
I have a question for you. He got all those bombs hit on him last year, right? Is that a statistical anomaly going from 1 year where he gave up next to none, and then the next year he just got shelled? Or is he's got to just be serving up softballs, right? I mean,
I think
is that related to the injury stuff, or
what I'm wondering is
did he have failure and try to adjust, and that led to the injury? What's going on with him?
Most noticeable things is McCann caught him a lot more last year than Avila did, and not criticizing McCann's game calling, but you know there could be a little bit something there.
But you think that makes a difference?
Yes, I do. I can't sit behind, you know, them and see what he's calling every pitch, but from catcher to catcher, like, you know, not to, you know, I obviously didn't pitch nearly at this same level, but from one catcher to another, a good, smart, you know, catcher who thinks the game can really draw the best out of you. And, you know, once again, not saying that McCann wasn't doing that. It makes you wonder a little bit, at least me.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, so he left August with a rotator cuff strain. What does that mean? Is that a significant thing? I mean, it's not an elbow, it's not core muscle, it's a shoulder, right?
Yes. I wonder if that has not so much that was a problem, but that made him overcompensate with other things, and that threw kind of his mechanics out of whack. I mean, all speculation here, but that would kind of be my guess.
Okay. All right.
So let's move on to some of the really important topics coming into spring training. Have you seen the orange hats that will be sporting this year?
Of course, I have.
Marchant? What are your thoughts?
Yes. I think they altered the logo to make the vines fatter, and it makes them look cheap. Mm. It makes them look like Chinese knockoffs that you get from Shipshuana and like your dad-in-law wears, and it's got like tigers printed in Arial font on the side, and it's you can kind of see the cardboard through they look cheap because they look different. Like the logo isn't reflective of the old English D. It's different. So I don't like them.
Took the thoughts,
but I don't like anything
right out of my head. When they like kind of came out with the announcement, like, hey, look at the spring training hats. I started looking at them, and I loved like all of them. And then I finally saw the Detroit one, and I'm like, oh no, like it's virtually the only spring training hat that isn't awesome. And I really, really do not like our hats. I will not be purchasing. Not that I would have anyway.
No,
but
no. So what would you do? What would you do with a hat?
I know it doesn't sell any extra hats, but I love just the navy with the white D on the front. Like, it's, you know, to me, that's the best hat in baseball. That's the one I want to wear.
Right. That's true. But
I mean, that doesn't sell extra hats, though, obviously.
I wanted for spring training a white hat.
Hmm.
Because they're not wearing the home whites. They got the blues, right? The navy tops or whatever.
Right.
Jerseys. Perfect time. Wear a white hat with a blue D.
That would be sweet. I didn't even think about that with the navy top. Yeah, that would be baller. I'd buy one of those for sure.
I my head sweats too much and it would turn yellow instantly, so I wouldn't buy one. But I think you'd look good in it.
Oh, thanks. Oh boy, I actually never wear hats either. I have a large collection, none of which I wear. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, one more thing. The Las Vegas over under on wins for the season was set at 85.
Mm-hmm.
You got $5 to wager. Where are you going?
Oh, that's generous. Wow, thank you. Only $5. I feel poor. I'm taking the over. The over. I'm going to give you a couple reasons why I want the over. One is because I enjoy baseball and I enjoy my team and I want to see them win and I think they're going to do it. And all you people who just want to, like, drop turds on the Tigers every year, oh, blah, 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 the leaders don't know what they're doing, the Tigers are going to suck this year, go poo-poo something else. Go poo-poo politics. Go hate on something that is not something I enjoy. Stop it. pick the over, love your team, cheer them on. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that's an obtainable number, 85. They can do that. How many? Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How many wins did the freaking Minnesota Twins have last year? 83. They had 83. You can't tell me that the Tigers can't do better, two games better, than the 2015 Minnesota Twins.
Wow. When you come put on. It like that, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, I'll obviously take the over, too. I want to say we're going to win 92 games.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
And I think that's enough. And obviously, I think that's enough to win the division.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to get back to your poo-pooing point, as one always does. Are you talking about Tigers fans that are poo-pooing, you know, our own team?
Yeah, so okay. I'm listening yeah, for sure. to the radio yesterday, which was a mistake. And there's this fan comes on, and he's like, yeah, you know, I just don't have any confidence in the Tigers' brain trust. You know, Leland is still around as a consultant in Lamont, and you know that they're still informing decisions. I wish Ausmus could do this. I just don't have any faith in them. It's probably the same dope who's calling in just be like, every fall, the Lions, you know, they're looking really good this year. I really could believe that they're going to do it. The Tigers have put together not an extremely long legacy, but a decade now of sustainably good baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sustainably good baseball. I know we're missing the World Series. I'm one of these guys who thinks getting to the playoffs is better than finishing last. Not everybody agrees with me. Some people say anything that is not a World Series is worthless. And I, to them, would say, you're not very good at thinking. Yeah. So the Tigers have been, until last year, they have been good. All right. So I'm positive. I go out to the park, see the team, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't know why anybody would want to hate. I don't get that. It's something, it's a leisure activity that you want to enjoy.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, are there times when I disagree with moves or, sure. you know? Yeah, obviously. But I don't understand how you can see what, like you said, what the Tigers have done over the last 10 years and think that there isn't a clue. Like, right. there is. They're good.
Right. And if you would accuse me of being a Pollyanna and everything's good, or, you know, maybe a little bit because, and I'm okay with that, because I enjoy it. I don't want to hate everything all the time. Sometimes it's cathartic and you just want to be pissed off. If you're not pinch running for Prince Fielder, this is the most mad I've ever been during a Tigers game. I was in a pizza place and I'm watching the game and they did not pinch run for Prince Fielder and I could have thrown things.
There was pepperoni on the walls.
Yeah, you know, the red pepper is going everywhere. I could have freaking screamed and his fat ass got thrown out. Anyway, I like the Tigers. I want them to do well, and I'm positive.
Boom.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Power rankings. I always enjoy this. This is fun. Okay, like I said before to you, I'm going to give you two choices, and you have to pick one.
All right.
And you don't have a lot of time to think about
it. So much pressure.
And then I will give you a rundown of power rankings, okay?
All right.
So your choices today are one, European countries, or two, models of minivan. Those are your choices.
I'm going to go European countries just because I won't be able to tell the difference between the minivans. Though I feel like there could be a lot of humor in that, too.
How old are you?
I am 26. No, oh, 27. Sorry, I just had a birthday.
Do you have children?
No.
Oh, your day is coming, my friend. Get yourself a minivan. All right, we'll talk about that. We'll offer that in the pairing for next time. So maybe next time you choose minivans. So European countries. And, of course, this is the top seven and then bottom three. So here we go. We're going to start out with a Scandinavian nation, and they make terrific furniture that you can put together. It is Sweden. Sweden has a great color scheme. It's got the blue and yellow. And Sweden, I'm going to tell you, is kind of a stand-in for all three of the big three Scandinavian countries. Finland and Norway also very solid, continually rank among the world's happiest people. A little socialist, but they're going to take care of you and they're going to give you some health care up in the Scandinavian countries. So Sweden comes in at number seven.
You can't forget with Sweden that they have produced the world's greatest athlete in Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And if you don't know who that is, Google him. He is incredible.
I know.
The audience.
Do you think he's single-handedly responsible for like the man bun? The little man ponytail.
I'd like to think so, and many other things that we are more subtle.
Yes.
If I could be a man, it would probably be Zlatan. Other than myself,
he's living in Paris.
Yeah.
You know he's living a good life, dude.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
Wow. Okay. So Sweden and honorable mention to Finland and Norway. Okay. Number six, and this is going to be kind of low. This might surprise you. Number six is Germany. Germany. Okay. Germany has some good things. Beer. But you can't have interesting beer. It's got to, you know, go with the purity laws in Germany, right? You have a little bit of history with bad government in Germany. Sorry, Germany. A few missteps with your leadership over there. Okay. Not so good. Yes, you're thorough. Good engineering, but that can be a little bit fastidious. Okay, just relax, Germany. Okay, let us have a little freedom. Okay, so Germany is number six. Number five, France. France has a lot of good things. Paris is beautiful. It's got a lot of nice countryside.
If you're gonna
get a glass of wine, where are you gonna get it from?
Traverse City, Michigan, for sure.
France.
Just kidding.
Don't drink any of that Leelanau garbage. You want some French wine. They have good toast and kissing, right? French. It's good.
Can't argue with that.
All right. Four is England. Now, English people can be a little sloppy. I'm not gonna tell you otherwise. A lot of white people there in England, of course. Just kidding. England is really nice to visit because they speak English, which makes it super easy. And England is quaint. You got little villages. You know, you got Northam, Shire, Forest, or whatever. And you go and you see their, you know, 17th Division football club. And you go to the Cock and Bull pub and you tip back, you know, some brown ale that they sell. It's England. It's beautiful. I love me some England.
And Daphne Moon. Can't forget about Daphne.
Right. I'm going to go with number three is the Netherlands. The Netherlands is often underrated. The Netherlands is great. They have large windmills. My genetic code comes from the Netherlands, cool. Which predisposes me to like the Netherlands.
That makes sense.
Right? What else does the Netherlands have going for? They are very good with their color scheme. I like orange. Orange is not on their flag, but is the color of the royal family. Yeah. There, you know that, the House of Orange. I like me some Netherlands. You have, get yourself some stroopwafels, some good food. And, you know, Hans Brinker is important. Do some skating.
Interesting. Never heard the name. Should I?
Yeah. Next. Number two is Italy. Italy is, it's shaped like a boot. That's nice. You can identify it quickly on a map. I mean, it gave you Rome. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Times New Roman as our font, right?
Can't argue with that either. No.
You know, we wouldn't have the movie Gladiator. I mean, what would Russell Crowe be doing if it wasn't for Italy? He'd be in Australia making stupid movies instead of making Gladiator. Not so good for the Christians for a while in Italy. But Italy had some good cities, you know, Florence, Naples, good food. Where would we be without Italy culinary-wise?
Oh, for sure.
For sure. For sure. Okay, number one. You want to take a shot at number one?
I'm going to go with Spain.
Spain! Yes, you got it. Spain is the correct answer. First of all, everybody in America takes, you know, intro one, Spanish 1 and 2, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go to Europe and be cute and try as a young person to hook up with some hot European babes, you want to go to Spain, right? Spain, they take siestas. They like to party. You're going to go to the disco. Everybody's pretty chill. You're going to check out the tomatina. You're going to throw tomatoes at each other. That's really cool in Spain. You're going to go to a bullfight, and you're going to enjoy some nice weather. The weather's good in Spain. Barcelona, some of the world's best soccer is obviously in Spain.
Yeah.
Spain is a good country. Now, their economic situation, not so good. But when you're drunk and partying, you don't care about the, you know, what interest rates are doing or how much you owe the EU, right? Because you're having fun and you're siestaing because it's freaking Spain.
Boom. To be fair, you have to be an economic genius to really understand any of that anyway. So
that's true. Okay. Now, do you want the worst five or the worst three?
Yeah.
Worst?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. The third from the bottom is Austria. Oh. Austria. Austria could do a lot more than what it has. It's not as good as Switzerland. I mean, right? At least Switzerland had neutrality. What does Austria have? They have like an Alpenhorn? Like, come on, Austria. You could do better. Second from the bottom is Hungary. Hungary, for where it's positioned, should do better. I'm not gonna call out the Eastern European countries. Like, you could pick out some of those and say, you are a crappy country. But guess what? They had a little bit of hardship. These are the countries that maybe should have done a little bit better. Hungary should have done a little better, I'm thinking. Okay. And therefore, that brings me to the worst one, and that's Luxembourg. Luxembourg. You're small, Luxembourg. You have nothing to offer. You're geographically positioned in a wonderful spot. What's Luxembourg famous for? Nothing. Like nothing. Nothing. Luxembourg is famous for being worthless, and that's what it is. Luxembourg is the worst European country.
Boom. There you have it. Boom. All right. You ready to move on to listener mail?
Yes.
All right. If you want to get in touch with the show, like we said, at Jordan Hall 23 or at Comerica Eric. The first one, what do you guys think about the Tigers play-by-play announcer swap between the TV and radio that will have happened several times this year?
I'm relatively indifferent. I'm excited to hear Dan on TV.
Yeah.
Any net increase of Dan Dickerson is good.
Yeah, that works for me. To be fair, between Dan and Mario, we have two of the best play-by-play guys that, I mean, obviously you haven't heard all of them, but I really right. like both of them. We are extremely blessed in this yeah. state to have those two.
I got to tell you, though, Mario does a very professional, a very good job, but he's professional and tame to the point of, like, you never would hear Mario say anything out of line, but you maybe lose a little bit of interest, little bit of right. color.
Yeah, I'll right? get that, definitely.
But, yeah, because he's so professional. I mean, even the jokes are very mild, right? And sometimes their carefulness is always is a little bit like, just say something funny or interesting. Like if it's in garbage time, they'll see a little kid like stuffing cotton candy up their nose or something and just be like, oh, the fans here are having a good time. And just like, come on. I mean, you can say something funny about this. Nobody else is watching or caring.
Yeah. All right, the next one. What do you guys think about Jim Gaffigan as the new Colonel Sanders?
Do you want me to answer this? I feel like I'm taking all
this. Do
you
have an opinion?
Oh, do I have an opinion? Of course I have an opinion. I do. Let me tell you, I do not get these KFC ads at all. And I'm a guy who likes the Little Caesars commercials.
Bite, bite, the, sip, sip. I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Love bite, bite, sip, sip. They got the frilly sleeves. I love that. It's terrific. But they started with Daryl Hammond. And so he's doing his Colonel Sanders impression. I was like, oh, okay. Is Daryl Hammond going to be this thing now forever? And then all of a sudden, it kind of changed, and it's Norm MacDonald. And you have to kind of listen for it. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's Norm MacDonald, and he's doing the chicken shtick here. And I'm like, is the point of – at first I was confused. Like, is the point of this trying to honor Colonel Sanders and, like, revive that aspect of the brand? And then it was like, well, is he trying to be – is it trying to be funny? Because it kind of doesn't work on that level. And now they switched again to Jim Gaffigan when it's trying to – I think clearly trying to be more funny than the other two guys. But I just don't get it. The whole thing seems like a mess to me.
Yeah, and there's no jokes written into the commercial. It's just like, this is Jim Gaffigan. You should laugh at what he says. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I don't get it at all.
Yeah, I was like, Jim, what are you – like, I think Jim is very funny. And
I do too.
He obviously loves food. Like, that's the basis of everything he talks about. So it seems like a natural fit. But I don't know. It just feels like he's cheapening himself.
It could have been done better.
Yeah. All right, last one. Have you guys ever wondered if babies understand more than they let on?
No. Babies are idiots. Babies do not understand more than they let on.
See, this one I got to disagree. I think that there's a small chance, a non-zero chance, that babies look at you going goo goo gaga thinking, what is this moron saying to me? Talk to me like an adult. Talk to me about the interest rates in Spain. You know, right. Something like that.
No, I'm telling you, the reason kids under about 3 don't remember anything, it's not because their brains are still developing. It's because they're idiots. All right, kids do not know anything. They're dumb.
All right, let's move on to game time. For game time this week, we'll be playing a lifelong favorite of the Mitten State. It's called Con Yes He Did, Con No He Did Not.
Oh my gosh, really? All right.
The game is simple. I will read Eric a quote and ask him if Kanye West said that. He will have to tell me Con Yes He Did or Con No He Did Not. It's fairly simple.
Yes.
If he gets it right, he gets the point. If he gets it wrong, I get the point, which makes it a game. All right, are you
nice
ready?
Explanation. Yes, okay. I'm ready.
The first one. My greatest pain in life is that I will never be able to see myself perform live.
Yeah, he said that.
Yes, he did. So, yeah. 1 point for you. You keep track of the score.
Okay. All right, I am. I clicked my pen right here. You can probably hear that. So Jay gets a 1. No, I get a 1. 1, Jay, 0. Okay, go.
All right. I don't even want to give myself any form of title anymore. I'm not calling myself a genius. I'm not calling myself a visionary. Only thing I can say is that I'm a servant.
Gosh, are these Trump quotes or Kanye quotes?
Oh, that would have been a better game.
Trump or Kanye?
Trump or Kanye.
That could have been fun. I'm going to say, yes, he said that.
2 in a row, he did say that. Because obviously. All right, next one. I find myself eating different kinds of chicken each and every day, even if it's by surprise.
Just because one of these has to be a no. I'm going to say no to this one.
3 for 3. You have a knack for my games. That was Ludacris that said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if the bitch ever got out of Ludacris's way. you ever wonder about that?
One would have assumed just based on repetition, but I mean, yeah. I guess there's no reason to think that.
She should have got the point.
All right. I am the number one human being in music. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Yeah, he said that.
He definitely said that, yes. All right, I'm just going to assume that you're going to get all of these right. The next one. One thing you can't do with your babies, you can't give them steak.
I'm going to say no.
He did not say that either. That was Flava Flav, which, you know, that kind of harkens back to our earlier discussion. You can't give them steak. You can't talk about interest rates. All right, next one.
They're not smart.
Sometimes people write novels and they just be so wordy and so self-absorbed. I am not a fan of books. I would never want a book's autograph. I am a proud non-reader of books.
Yes, he did say that.
He did say that. All right, one more. This is for all the marbles. You were 6 for 6, by the way.
I'm 6 for 6.
I don't know if you should be proud or appalled.
I'm ashamed.
All right, last one. I hate it when I'm on a flight and I wake up with a water bottle next to me, like, oh great, now I gotta be responsible for this water bottle.
This is definitely, he said this. Yeah. This is a famous one, yes.
He definitely did say that. So you are 7 for 7. You skunked me, if that's a term in this game.
Next time we're gonna play Lynn Henning or the Book of Ecclesiastes. Which is one of my favorite articles I ever wrote. Was Lynn Henning or the Book of Ecclesiastes.
Deal. That sounds awesome. All right.
Yeah, don't read it. I'll quiz you next time.
Done. All right. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can reach us at podcastianos.com. And even if you want to just see words about us, they're on there. You can get in touch with us there. I am at JordanHall23. He is at ComericaEric.com. And we remind you again, subscribe, rate, and review if you are listening to us on iTunes. Any last words to say to the people before we get out of here for the night?
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you for having us into your earbuds. And with that, we will catch you guys next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.